The views, information, or opinions during It's Wellness Time podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Southern Indian Health Council and its employees. The primary purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. This podcast does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services.
Would you happen to know what time it is? You got the time? Would you happen to know what time it is? You got the time? Hello, everybody. Welcome back to It's Wellness Time podcast, the only podcast in the world that's guaranteed to make you more united. As always, I'm your host, Nathan Ball, and our mission is to elevate your personal health and wellness while engaging the surrounding communities right here at Southern Indian Health Council. Today's episode is all about unity. It's all about putting the unity back in community. And I'm sitting here with the leaders of the Kumeyaay Nation Unity Clubs here in East County, San Diego. And stay tuned because we're about to find out what it takes to be a true leader. First of all, let me go ahead and introduce a man who's no stranger to this podcast, Mr. Lenny Ray Smith, the leader of Unity. It's good to have you back, man.
I appreciate that, brother. As he stated, my name is Lenny Ray Smith, tribal liaison, Southern Indian Health, working out at the Boys and Girls Club.
Yes, sir. It's good to have you back. You're making my voice sound like a helium balloon. But other than that, you know, it's good to be in your company always. On my left, I have Jonay Benton. I pronounced that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to go ahead and say what's up to everybody listening. Let them know a little bit about yourself.
My name's Jonay Benton. I'm 18 years old. I go to Mountain Empire High School, and I'm currently the chairwoman of the Unity for the Kumeyaay Nation Club at the high school.
Awesome. So what is chairwoman of the club? What sort of responsibilities do you have with that?
I'm kind of like the delegator of everything in a sense. Like when things needed, like we have weekly meetings every Tuesday, and I'm kind of in charge of like running those, orchestrating everything. When stuff kind of falls short or anything, I talk about like what we need to do to like get it together and kind of hold people responsible. That's kind of my job.
Awesome. And then outside of all of this like professional and like innovative work that you're doing, what's a fun fact about yourself for listeners to remember you by?
A fun fact about myself? I don't know. I have a 4-year-old pit bull, and she's named after J. Cole, and her name's Jermaine.
You got a pit bull named Jermaine?
Mm-hmm. Named after Jermaine Cole, the artist.
Does your pit bull have bars?
No.
Not yet?
Not
okay.
Yet.
Okay. Cool. Well, thank you for being here on the podcast. It's nice to meet you and have you here. Malaya Jones is sitting here on my right. She's also a part of the Unity program. What's up, Malaya?
Hi. How come? Malaya Jones, Mechuhin, Yashahuk, Naboom, Campo, Kopai. Hi, my name is Malaya. I am 13 and I'm from Campo. And I am also chairwoman for Unity for the middle school.
Cool. So you're the chairwoman for like the middle school side of things, and then you're the chairwoman for the high school side of things. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you have a lot of those same responsibilities at doing the middle school, being the chairwoman for that?
Yeah.
Is there any differences between your responsibilities and Jonay's?
No.
Not really. Do you guys collaborate a lot? Like get... And, you know, maybe some advice from each other and like how you can better serve your areas of unity.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are some of those conversations like?
Like how we can like make like the Unity Club better and like how like we can have people like come together more.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And then outside of unity and outside of school, what's like a personal thing about yourself for people to remember you by, like a fun fact?
That yeah. I play volleyball.
You play volleyball? You've always played volleyball?
Yeah.
Are you good?
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah?
We play for the same club.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. You don't have any dogs named like Drake or anything?
No, I mean, I have a dog. His name is Taco.
Okay, that's cool. Taco and J. Cole. That's what's up. Thank you for being here on the podcast. Finally, we have Denari. Welcome to the podcast. This is your first time on the podcast,
yes,
right?
It is. Okay.
What is your role in all of this Unity program stuff?
I'm just supporting them as much as I can and help Lenny with the fundraising and just the back work stuff.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you for being on the podcast. Fun fact about yourself for people to remember you by?
I would say, fun fact, I get really red when I'm shy. And I feel like I'm really red right now.
A little bit. It's a shade of red. Yeah. Cool. And Lenny, you got a lot of fun facts. We could be here all day.
Yeah, we don't. It's about them today.
Sure. Lenny likes lowriders. That's his fun Love fact. It. You fix them up yourself, all that, right? Yeah. Lenny's the guy. Okay, well, let's have one of you, whoever wants to take the lead. You know, this is a episode about leadership. So whoever wants to take the lead on this first question, when was Unity first founded and what is its purpose?
Unity was first founded actually in 1976. It's been around for a very long time. That's actually what, 47 years, you know, it's founded in Mesa, Arizona. And it's just basically to give the Native kids a sense of empowerment, you know what I mean? Spiritual, culturally related, wellness, all around wellness, you know, self-belong in a sense. That's how I take it as. Finding an identity within themselves, because Native Americans in general are just born leaders, you know what I mean? So, you know, I think that's what Unity prides itself on, to support Native American communities throughout the United States. If I remember right on the video, over a quarter of a million youth served throughout the Native American Unity Group. You know what I mean? So that's a big number, you know what I mean, that they can actually help. So it's been around for a very long time.
Yeah, 48 years. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I had no idea. So how long has Unity been active here on Kumeyaay land?
I'm only contest of when we started.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I know back in the day, Viejas had an actual Unity group. I know currently right now, there's different tribes within Sequan or Hermoa that's actually taking kids to the Unity Conference with their tribal youth, their tribal leaderships program. Not necessarily that it's called Unity, but they support Unity. So, but for us, I brought the idea to our leaders, Laura Q, Laura C, in October of 2023. So we've only been in existence for a couple months, to be honest.
Right. That's what I was expecting when I asked how long has it been around. Was like a short period of time. I didn't know this was a program that has been around for almost 50 years.
Yeah.
So you've just now brought it to East County, San Diego, to the Kumeyaay land within just the last few months.
East County, San Diego, of the Roar three tribes up there.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like I said, it's been in existence down here.
Okay.
I don't know to the extent of what magnitude, you know what I mean? But I know they've been a part of Unity for some time. We actually have current staff members at Southern Indian Health that actually was in Unity when they were younger. Unity had played a big part in their lives. Went on, came back, and now they're doing really good for themselves. So so it's been around a long time.
Okay. I mean, cool. So, Jonay, you said you're going to, is it Mount Empire High School?
Yes.
Okay, so what was the motivation behind bringing Unity to, like, the Unity Club to Mount Empire High School?
Actually, Lenny and Denari and Chairwoman Gwendolyn helped out with like getting it started. I guess motivation for it. We used to have a Native Pride Club like at the high school, but it was dismantled like a few years. No one was really participating or keeping it up, like keeping it going. Mm-hmm. But when like my older brother, my brother's like 10 years older than me, when he went to high school, they had a Native Pride Club, and I feel like they were just like more together as like Native people and like their friends, like they were able to be friends with like people from other tribes. Right now, I feel like we kind of just stay like, or are like friendly with people from the same tribes as us. Like I'm only friends with people from La Posta, people from Campo are kind of only close with people from Campo. Mm. So I feel like unity kind of just brought a place for us to like all bond in that sort of sense and gave us just like a place to share like what we all have in common and just similarities and stuff and what we go through during school and all that. And it's a place to have fun.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking a little bit to what Jonay said about bringing different tribes together, Malaya, what would you say is like, how would you define the word unity and to unify? Like, what is the significance with that language?
It's like, it means like a, like, basically, unity, like, it, like, helps us, like, become, like, stronger and, like, helps each other, like, be born leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom raised me to be a leader and always help people. And, like, I'm always, on people's butts about, like, being like leaders. Like my brother, like if he's mean, I'm like, no, like you gotta chill out about that. Like,
right, you gotta set a good example.
Yeah. And then he's like, okay.
Uh-huh.
And then like other people, like if they're mean, like the person that's being like bullied or something, I like help build them up and stuff. And that's like basically what unity is, and to learn about our culture more and to like be respectful to elders and stuff.
That's awesome. And you guys all have, you know, probably a lot in common and probably a lot that's different, mm-hmm. right? But you guys are focusing on, you know, what we have in common and like common goals, and you're able to combine all of your talents and your skills and your experiences and then make something better than just if you all were trying to do it alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys feel like when you're getting a lot of people together in a group and you're trying to make them all leaders, how can everybody be a leader?
Because
a lot of times people think, oh, this should only be one leader and then everybody else is a follower. But what is your ideology with the Unity Club when you're building up so many leaders at the same time?
To me, that's a great question in a sense, because as Malaya basically stated, her mom has instilled in her to be a leader. You know what I mean? I'm a born leader myself. I pride myself in that. And anything that I try to, you know, put out, you know what I mean? I want to reflect on our youth and our kids that you can build themselves up. You know, she talked about bullying, you know what I mean? Within our generation of kids these days, a lot of kids are being bullied. They're being peer pressured, things of that nature. Unity gives them a self of belonging. You know what I mean? We've generated our own tribal council. You know, our chairwoman, our vice chair, our secretary, our treasurer, those are leaders within themselves, being elected by their own peers. You know what I mean? So getting them stepping outside of the box and saying, I want to do something different and I want to do that. You know what I mean? To build all them up to become leaders. You know what I mean? They've actually revoted, Jonay and Malaya have revoted twice for their council already by eliminating people and voting in more people because certain individuals wasn't stepping up. So again, some are not leaders because it shows of their actions on what they're doing. And if they're being participating in what we want to do, or they're just saying, I'm going to hold this title and so forth. But two leaders right here sitting to my left and right, you know, they're holding people accountable. You know what I mean?
Do you think those people who you're saying they're not leaders, you think people are born leaders and that's just who they are? Or do you think there are people who can go a good portion of their life without those leadership qualities, but then later on, they can develop those qualities?
Later on, they can develop those qualities because it's hard to say people are born leaders. I mean, that takes a lot of self-confidence. You know what I mean?
Mentorship too. I would assume there's not a single leader who stepped into that without proper mentorship.
Exactly. So, and I think that's where I come in at that. I've always said, and I said this the last time, the Lord uses me as a vessel within this community to, you know, help these kids, you know, to become leaders. Jonay is a born leader in general. She gets so many different accolades and awards for whatever she does pertaining to schools and sports and so forth. You know what I mean? And it's just a reflection of who she is and how she leads. Not only is she our chairwoman in our club, she's like the president, ASB, and this and that. Everything else in her school, she's top of the top. You know what I mean? And that's a reflection of her mom and her parents and her family and so forth of who she is. Yeah. And now that her peers see her, they look up to her. You know what I mean? So when we wanted to start our Unity Club right there, she actually didn't even attend our first meeting. You know what I mean? And then when I was saying who wants to be chair, this and that, I was hearing Jonay. I never even knew a Jonay. But then once I seen who Jonay was, I seen what the kids were talking about, and she wasn't even present because she walked in with confidence. Mm-hmm. And then once I heard her speak, it was like, man, like that's a born leader right there.
Well, that's awesome, Jonay, because, you know, we only get one life. So you might as well do as much as you can while you're here, you know, especially while we're young. We don't have back pain. Like, you know, we're able to exert ourselves and really put out a lot of energy into the world. So good on you for not only doing the Unity stuff, but, you know, focusing academically and volleyball. Like, you know, you're all over the place. It's awesome.
Thank you.
When you spoke about the separation between the different tribes at your school prior to Unity, what were some of like the issues you noticed that came from that?
I think it's like a sense of belonging within like your certain tribe, I guess. In a sense, it's like, I feel like there's competition on who's the best tribe or like who comes from. I feel like it's just a strong like sense of, I don't know the word, but like just love for their tribe, I guess. And I feel like it often makes like people butt heads a little bit because it's like, okay, we're from Campo, we're the best around, whatever. These other tribes like can't compete with us. And then like you're from La Posa, you think the same thing. You're from Manzanita, you think the same thing. So, and it's just kind of like a little bit of common ground that you have within your tribe too. Like if you're going to certain events, like we have Earth Days or we have spring gathering, stuff like that. It's like they only experience those things with each other because they're from the same tribe. And like, if we're from La Posa, sometimes we don't go or we're not as likely to go if we're not from Campo and it's a Campo event. So it's just a lot of shared experiences. And then you have that, like, not, I wouldn't call it a rivalry, but it's just, I don't know. It's like, you want to be the best. And
yeah. No, I get it. The competition and you're so loyal to like where you came from.
Loyal.
So when you first introduced the idea of the Unity program in your school, how was that received?
Well, I don't know if the separation between people had like anything to do with how it was received, but it was really hard to get it started up and find out like who our people really were that were going to be a part of Unity. In the beginning, he said, I missed the first meeting. They had Indian tacos. They had like a whole party. And apparently there was like 30 kids there. And then the next meeting I went, there was not a lot of people there. There was, Lenny didn't bring food to kind of wean out who was going to be loyal or not.
I was
going to
say there probably weren't Indian tacos that second time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then a lot of people kind of had bad attitudes while he was talking. Everyone wanted to leave. They're like, oh, like, I just want to go get lunch, whatever. And then it was hard, like, once we started talking about, like, the business aspect and all the fundraising we'd have to do in order to make it and go to certain conferences, all that. People started weaning out. People who we elected as officers, they stopped showing up, all those sorts of things. And then, like you said, we had to reelect because just people just stopped caring and just, quote unquote, forgot about it, stopped going. And it was just hard to find people who were dedicated. And it took a couple meetings in order to like find our team. And then once after we reelected, you know, we only have like, I would say like 8 like real members now. From 30 to 8, it's kind of crazy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to happen in anything. You're probably you're going to have the people who are kind of willing to maybe do it when it's easy. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, there's going to be a smaller group of people who are really committed. But I think from there, you can find those, you said like 8 people, right? You could find that smaller group of 8 people. And if everybody's very committed, well, you can grow from there. You know, and you guys can spread the word individually. And then that 30 became 8, but then that 8 can then turn into 10 and 20. And
I think if anything, we're like stronger now that we're smaller. We've done more. We've fundraised more. We've been more like together since we kind of dwindled down.
Yeah. That, for me, you know, playing sports, we were always told by my coaches, you're only as strong as your weakest link, right? So if like your worst player is still really good, like then you're going to be a solid team. But if you got a lot of people who are sort of like weighing things down, then like Lenny said, maybe you guys aren't ready to be leaders yet and you got to go, you know.
Most definitely. She made a valid point because I did that on purpose. You know what I mean? This is my second go around of actually doing this in a sense of starting a unity club within my career, I should say. But the very first meeting at the high school, we had 30 kids. At the middle school, we had 28 kids. You know, we had a big shindig, Indian tacos. Everybody loved it. I gave my speech about...
They were chanting, Lenny, Lenny.
Yeah, they wanted some more food. That's what they wanted. You know what I mean? I gave my speech in a sense about how do you want to be remembered? What's your legacy? You know what I mean? So it dwindled down right away. I'm in our second meeting. I'm in second and third meeting. You know, we're in the classroom and we're talking and kids are like, can I leave? I'm like, yeah, man, leave. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not holding you here, holding you hostage or nothing. So again, we weeded out the ones like Janae stated. And then that's when you see who becomes the true leaders and who wants to step outside the box, who wants to be different. You know what I mean? People were coming just for the food. But, you know, I mean, like I said, I've done this before. So I weeded the ones out. And like, you know, we got a strong eight, but we got about 10. But, you know, we got a strong eight, but we got about 10 at the high school. Middle school, we got a strong about 15. You know what I mean? And the same thing happened with Malaya's group at the middle school. Same exact thing. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
That's smart. That's smart. The food and then the no food. It's a good test. Jonay, when you're like being assertive, because, you know, you have to be assertive to get things done, right? I'm sure you've found that out. Is it hard for you where you feel like maybe people don't like you or you struggle where you want to be likable, but then you also have to be assertive? How do you deal with that?
I would say like, yeah, that happened. And actually, when you guys were talking about the whole, like, are people born leaders or like, do they develop them over time? When I was younger, like he said, I was a born leader. But when I was younger, I didn't understand like the difference between like delegation or like just being bossy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like being a good leader and being like bossy. So a lot of people didn't like me because I was just super bossy. I wanted to run everything all the time. And it wasn't until high school where I found a balance between the two. And I don't know. I feel like being assertive and like being someone who's bossy are like two different things. And once you learn the difference, for example, if I'm like, I'm not going to tell somebody to do something that I'm not doing. Like, I'm not going to tell them like to do a bunch of grunt work if I'm not putting in any grunt work myself. And I think that's something that kind of will make people like kind of resonate with you a little bit. They'll be more understanding when you're telling them to do something. Or like, if we're like really stressed, like we had a fundraiser one time and we were really stressed and we were like kind of behind. If like people like see like you're not just telling, I wouldn't be telling you anything if it wasn't needed. And like when that's shown in the environment, I feel like that also helps people like understand. But I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, people like obviously if you're being told to do something and so you don't want to do it, it's obviously going to hurt a little bit. But at the end of the day, I'm in my role for a reason. And I just feel like somebody's got to say it. If it has to be me for the betterment of the club or whatever it is, like I feel like it's just got to be said. And if you're not going to like me because of that, I mean, a lot of people know me as a person, like they know who I am, like fun Jonay. And then they know like I got to hunker down and be like, okay, like chairwoman Jonay. So I think, I don't know, if you're not going to like me because of that, sometimes it's just like a maybe... I can't. I don't know.
Sure. And what I will say is nobody, you're never going to have everybody like you, whether you're not doing anything or whether you're doing all types of stuff and you're ambitious. There's always going to be people who are like, I don't like Jonay because blah, 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 all their little reasons.
That was a nice ringtone though, huh? Chairwoman Jonay.
Yeah. Chairwoman Jonay. It's got a good ring to it. But so yeah, I mean, you and Malaya, you guys got to just focus on doing what you think is the right thing and treating people the way you think you should be treating them. And I think you made a good distinction between being bossy and being a leader, because if you're put in a position of influence and you're just bossing everybody and belittling them and making them feel like lesser than you because you're so more powerful than them, then you're going to end up with a team of one, and it's going to be yourself, because nobody's going to want to, you know, be a part of that. But if you're using your influence to empower others and make everybody else feel like they have an important role and that they should be their own leader, then that's what a true leader does, you know? And so just hearing you guys be aware of that distinction at such a young age, I think is really cool, because you guys are just getting started. Dinara, you talked about you mentioned a conference earlier in the introduction. So what is that? Why is that such a big priority?
Because if we will be able to take them, couple of them. And when we do take them, it's really important because it's leadership. And then they're going to see a bunch of other tribals from Alaska, Hawaii, Arizona, et cetera. And they're going to exchange cultures and just experience. And Malaya and a lot of other kids mentioned that they never been on an airplane before. And I really want to give them that experience.
I want to give her flowers right here, man. Dinari, she's very nervous, you know what I mean? But I'm bringing that leadership out of her. You know what I mean? She's always been in her shell. She does really well. And I started this, but I couldn't do it without Dinari. I'm just being honest with everybody. The kids gravitate to her. The kids react well to her. You know what I mean? Some meetings, when I got to do other things, Dinari will go and run the meeting. So go back to what we were talking about. Are they born leaders or they become leaders? She's becoming one right in front of our eyes. And I'm so proud of her with that. You know what I mean? With her own family and her little ones and everything, she takes a lot of time to give to us and help us out, because it's a lot of time and dedication. You know what I mean? I know some days I work 6 days a week, you know what I mean? Sometimes seven with strategizing stuff. Now with Unity stuff, she's working 6 days a week, because with the fundraising, things of that nature, taking time away from her families, her two little ones. So Dinari, in front of everybody and to everybody out there, I want you to know I appreciate you for that, because it's a lot of hard work and dedication. And to want to give back to the community is hard. You know what I mean? It's a selfless job. So, but when you're giving back and then you see the return later by Jonay and Malaya and all the other kids, you can be like, man, that's why I did it. And I've been doing it a long time, and I'm really proud of her.
That's what it takes. Yeah. Malaya, a little bit just about the skill of leadership, right? Because just like any other skill, you got to work on it and improve upon it. But with a lot of other skills, like whether you're talking about volleyball or maybe like cooking, like, you know, you have different ways of improving, like getting your reps in, right? Going to practice and developing those skills to where it becomes like a muscle memory type of thing. Or maybe like with the cooking example, it's like you realize you learn from failure as well. So it's like, okay, I tried making this cake and I put way too much sugar in it and it tasted bad. So next time I'm not going to do that. So for leadership, what are some things that you've learned that are like mistakes you've made that you've learned from and you're going to make sure you don't repeat them, and so you can improve upon your leadership skills?
So I don't know if you know this, but I was Little Miss Kumeyaay 2019 through 2022.
I didn't know that.
And so I did a lot of stuff when I was little that was like bad. Like in first grade, I was like a really bad kid. And then as soon as like I hit sixth grade, everything changed, because that's when I became Little Miss. And so I just like, my mom just put her foot down and said, like, you need to listen, like, these are the things you need to do. Like, you need to be a leader. Like, nothing that you do that's bad will help people younger than you follow their dreams. And then she's always just told me to chase my dreams. So that's what I'm doing.
What are some of those dreams?
I want to be an aerospace engineer and become an astronaut for NASA.
That's pretty cool. You want to help start the civilizations on Mars? Yeah. How long have you been into space? Like, what got you into space?
In second grade, we went to the museum in Balboa.
I was just there. I was just there like 2 weeks ago. It's so cool.
And then, like, they were talking about all that stuff. And then when I became Little Miss, my older Miss Kumiai, she wanted to be an aerospace engineer. But now she went to Berkeley University and did her stuff. And so then, like, that encouraged me to go to college and become an aerospace engineer.
Awesome. And Jonae, what are some of your goals, like, after high school?
So I want to get my MBA, my master's in business administration. And also, I want to become a certified public accountant, like, kind of do them both at the same time. And right now, my plans after high school, I'm pretty sure I'm going to commit to UCLA. I got into UCLA and UC Berkeley, and those are the two I'm kind of dancing between. And, you know, get my degree. Maybe come back, help the tribe. Maybe just work outside in the outside world. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Take it one step at a time. Give it your all at every step. And then, you know, life will lead you to where you're supposed to be. That's awesome. And aerospace engineering. That's cool. My fiance is a civil engineer, right? So she helps build like hospitals and stuff like that. But like low key, building spaceships is way cooler. So that's definitely a cool thing for you to start to want to do at this age. What's the best way for people who are listening, who now understand what the program is about? What's the best way for them to reach out and get connected and get involved with Unity?
They can reach out to myself, Lenny Ray Smith, my office. I'm housed out of the Boys and Girls Club on La Posta. Or Denari, you can just reach us there or call Southern Indian Health and get connected with us through there. So,
yes, sir. Yeah. Okay. And I'll go ahead and put the description of all that, in the description. I'll put like the phone number and our website and all that. So you listening right now, make sure you check that out, get involved. Or maybe if you yourself doesn't, you're not going to get involved. Maybe you have friends or family who you think it'd be like, oh, this would be an awesome thing for that person. And you can send that information their way.
Yeah, I would appreciate that. I wanted to touch on what Jonae said about the tribes just stand with themselves and, you know what I mean, Campo and La Posta, Manzanita, you know what I mean, which is great. They're taking pride within their tribe. But the tribes have actually been very vital to our existence. You know what I mean? So the seven consortium tribes within Southern Indian Help have been really key for us with fundraising. I want to thank Viejas, Barona, Jamul, La Posta, Campo, because they've all donated to us significantly for us to reach our goals to go to the National Unity Conference in Oregon. So coming together, I think when you know, there's every conference or when I'm listening to leaders talk, they say the kids are our future. Yeah, I mean, they've really stepped up and showed me that our kids are our future because they're helping out and donating and want to see these kids, you know, go see other parts of the land and go see other Alaskan Natives and American Natives and explore different cultures. So I want to thank them from each chairperson that I talk to, each assistant that I talk to, Chairwoman Gwendolyn. Of course, I love her and I adore her. She's key to this. Chairwoman Pinto from Jamul, true leader. You know what I mean? I want to just thank them. Chairman Cuero from Campo, big help with this. You know what I mean? So Barona Viejas, they've been a big help. You know what I mean? So the tribes can show that they can come together. You know what I mean? And I want to just thank them all. I mean, so to Jonae's point, it's happening on the youth aspect, and then it's happening in leadership as well. So
yeah, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of people.
I do the back end work. I'm not going to lie. I know they probably got tired of seeing emails from Lenny Ray Smith and calls from Lenny Ray Smith. But you know what? Like I tell Lord Q, my boss, I'll do anything for my babies, man. I'll fight for them. I'll go talk to anybody for them so they can better themselves and become, you know, engineers and want to own their business and do all this, you know what I mean? Because they deserve it. They deserve it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The real question, the most important question of the day is, do you guys have any jokes for me?
Unfortunately, yes, I do.
You do? Okay. So this is the segment called Tell Me a Joke, where we go around the table taking turns telling some jokes. And Lenny let me know that he doesn't have any jokes prepared, so he's going to be our official judge for today. And you're going to have four jokes, and you're going to have to pick which one is the best. So who wants to be a leader and go first?
Let's go with Denari.
Okay, you ready? What do dentists call x-rays? Toothpicks.
All right, who's up next?
I'll tell mine. So, why can't you tell drama in a cornfield?
Why can't you tell drama in a cornfield? Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
Because there's too many ears.
I heard one once, it was like, why can't you gossip on a farm? And it said, because potatoes have eyes and corn has ears. Yeah. All right. Malaya.
You want to hear a construction joke?
Yes.
Hey, you got a joke.
Oh, sorry, I'm working on it.
The joke's on you, Jack.
That was solid delivery. Last week, I tried to make a belt out of watches. Now, is that something you guys think is a good idea?
No.
No. Yeah, it ended up being a big waste of time.
Wow, man. See, that's why I don't tell jokes. You know.
You'd blow us all out the water, probably. Negative. Okay, so who we going to be the champion for today for Tell Me a Joke?
I think they all were pretty good, to be honest with you. You know what I mean?
But if you had to pick a favorite.
I ain't picking no favorite.
Which you do have to pick.
I ain't picking one. Because I respect and love both my chairwomen, my partner in crime right here. So, actually, I'm going to just pick you.
I'll take it. We'll give the trophy to Unity, and we all won.
That's right.
Okay. Cool. Well, thank you guys for being here today. We talked about some really serious stuff. We had a little bit of fun. And I think overall, for me personally, I'm just glad to have met both of you, because it's really inspiring just seeing how focused you guys are. And, you know, we always hear so much about how the younger generation is doomed and all people want to do is play Fortnite and like the world's going to hell. But it's really refreshing seeing a couple young prodigies in the making. And not only are you two doing positive things, but you're influencing even those who are younger than you to get on the right path and make this world a beautiful place. So thank you for doing what you're doing.
I just want to say thank you for having us. It was fun. I've never been on a podcast before. It's very interesting. And I'm glad we got to share our little story about our little organization right now.
Yeah, it's a big, big story, big organization.
It'll get there.
And thank you again for being here.
We're also accepting donations. Mm. You know what I mean? Our conference is actually in June. We still got a couple more months to raise some money. So if you find it in your heart out there to help donate to both of our Unity groups, the Kumeyaay Nation or Native Unity, please help out and donate to us. We would appreciate it. All of our kids are working hard. We're going to work on another food fundraiser. We were supposed to have one last weekend, but due to unforeseen incidents, situations, it couldn't happen. So we're going to work on another food fundraiser. I'll keep everybody in the loop with that. But again, if you find it in your heart to donate to our Native leaders and our clubs, please do so. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And Malaya, any last words from you?
No, just to say anything is possible. Like, you can do anything that you put your mind to.
You can even go to space. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We really appreciate you. I really appreciate you. I hope you got something out of this episode, because I know I did. And as always, remember, health is wealth and wellness is priceless. Have a great day.